Before voting ends in this election, there are millions of voters who believe that the last one was stolen and that this one will be too. There are hundreds of election deniers on ballots across the country, armed people at ballot drop boxes. Well, we recently got a reminder of how we got here. This epidemic of lies included the false accusations against mother-daughter election workers in Georgia, accusations that former President Trump amplified in that phone call to Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, in which Trump told him to find votes. Trump also said this about election worker Ruby Freeman.
She's a vote scammer. A professional vote scammer and hustler.
Well, Freeman and her daughter, Wandrea Shea Moss, received so many threats they had to leave their home, but not before three mysterious people came, pressuring them to admit to fraud. Well, Fulton County, Georgia officials have now ordered all three to appear before a grand jury in the investigation into election interference by Donald Trump and his supporters. Prosecutors reportedly hoping the three might connect the dots between others called to testify, like Rudy Giuliani. Richard Fossett is with the New York Times in Atlanta. And Richard, you remind us this started when a Trump campaign lawyer showed Georgia state senators grainy video purporting to show workers bringing in suitcases of illegal ballots. Soon, Trump supporters were threatening this mother and daughter. Then these three people showed up. Tell us about them.
This subplot reads like a Coen Brothers movie in a way. One of them is a woman named Trevian Cutie. She lives in Chicago. She was once the spokesperson for R. Kelly, and then later claimed to be a spokesperson for Kanye West. She's been a registered cannabis industry lobbyist in Chicago. We have a man named Steve Lee, who's a Lutheran pastor from Illinois, who was also in Ruby Freeman's neighborhood. And then there's a gentleman named Willie Lewis Floyd III, who is a former mixed martial arts fighter. Around election time, he was running a group called Black Voices for Trump. These three people, according to court records, were involved in showing up at Ruby Freeman's house and coming up with this scheme to pressure her into admitting that she'd done something that she had not.
Yeah. Well, there's video evidence of this. There were video cameras at the home and also at the police station. When Ms. Cutie came to Freeman's home, she called the police because here's this person at her door. The policeman suggests they both go to the police station, if I've got this right, which seems kind of odd that Ms. Freeman would have to sit there with somebody who was harassing her. But there is sound that was picked up. What did Ms. Cutie, what was she saying?
Well, Ms. Cutie shows up and is telling people, she's saying sort of vaguely, she's representing these very high-powered people, and they decide to meet at a police station where Ms. Freeman felt a little bit safer to talk. And it's there that we hear on this video Ms. Cutie saying that an event is going to occur that was going to, quote, disrupt your freedom. She says that she can call a man who has, quote, authoritative powers to get you protection. All this is very vague, and it can be, I think, interpreted as rather ominous. But eventually it leads to Miss Cutie calling Mr. Floyd on the phone, putting him on speakerphone. Miss Freeman has said to Reuters that Miss Cutie and Miss Floyd tried to pressure her into saying that she indeed committed fraud, and she, of course, maintains that she did nothing of the sort.
Ms. Freeman says, as she told Reuters, Ms. Cutie warned her she'd go to jail if she didn't tell everything, if she didn't confess to this fraud that she did not do. And we also know that this kind of morphed into the huge lie that there were mules who were bringing in bags of fake ballots, and, you know, there was the documentary 2,000 Mules. This became a part of that false narrative that there were election workers who were overturning the election. What happened? I mean, what strikes me is that this happened to these two women. And a lot of Americans, it's just been too much. They don't even, you know, we can't even follow these stories. What did it do to these two women?
Well, I mean, first of all, you're absolutely right that there was no basis that anyone's found that any of these allegations were in the least bit true. And as someone who's lived in Atlanta for a number of years, I can tell you that this landed in a particularly noxious way in this city. It sees itself as the civil rights capital of the United States, very important city culturally for African-American people specifically, and the kinds of people that Ruby Freeman and Ms. Moss are, the kinds of people that people like me see every time we go to vote. They're people who are motivated to be involved in the electoral process in large part because they want to carry on the tradition of the Voting Rights Act and making sure that the franchise is extended to all people. Election Day in and around Atlanta can be a very kind of special and sacred feeling for that reason. So it feels, like I said, particularly rough that these two heretofore anonymous women have been targeted in this way. And it was very rough for them. Ms. Freeman was advised by the FBI to disappear for a couple of months, which she did. Ms. Moss has spoken to the January 6th committee about how difficult her life became after that. The intimidation and the notes were ugly. Sometimes they were violent. Sometimes they were racist. People came to Ms. Freeman's house on January 6th. It was a real ugly mess.
Well, and we should note that two of the three people now ordered to appear before a grand jury in this ongoing investigation there in Georgia are also Black. Their testimony will be coming up, and it'll be interesting to see if we can, who sent them there. Richard Fawcett, thank you so much.
Thanks, Robin.